Welcome to another exciting episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the Brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The Brothers Anderson are... This is Eric.
And by the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
This is Brother Jay.
You ask me if I have a God complex. Let me tell you something. I am God.
This is Drew.
There is a storm coming like nothing you have ever seen. And not a one of you is prepared for it.
So sit back, close your eyes, and let us take you away. Unless you're driving, in which case keep your eyes open and watch the road. And, you know, anyway. Welcome, this is Eric.
This is Brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And tonight, we have 1999's The World Is Not Enough.
Yeah, we do.
Uh-oh, that was a hefty sigh. I'm sensing disappointment in the force.
Well, this would be a good place for your observation, Brother Jay.
Well, I was going to say... Last week was rope, but this week is twine. But I'm guessing that Drew feels like this was just like pulling the threads of a cable sweater till it came apart in tatters.
Oh, very, very picturesque. So, yeah, let's start with Drew. What's your reaction to twine?
This movie is a huge disappointment to me. It has... a lot of things that I like. I like the first half, but as soon as Denise Richards shows up, the whole movie goes in completely off the rails. She is so terrible that it made me want to stop watching the movie, which is a shame because I really liked Sophie Marceau. I even liked forget the name of the dude who played Renard.
Robert Carlyle, Bigsby.
Yeah, from Trainspotting. He was such a weirdo, but I liked him. They had great villains. But Dr. Christmas Jones was an abomination and was unforgivable.
Okay, now, was she an abomination because she was offending your nuclear engineer sensibilities? Or was she an abomination just because you think she was like wooden and bad acting?
Not only was it bad acting, but there was nothing there. I mean, she could have been a great actor. She's not. But even if she had been, that part was just nothing. It was dumb. She was just there to be like, bomb stuff.
No, and fake boobs.
Sure.
Yeah. But nothing, you're right. I mean, like, I was going to actually defend Denise Richards because I don't think, obviously, her acting could not have, she was not capable of pulling anything out of this character. But I'm not sure she had a whole lot to work with. This character could have been removed from the movie and it only would have made the movie better.
Yes.
But Brother Jay, you're the Bond expert.
I can't deny that. I mean, But she is the weakest part of this movie, for sure. But I still like this movie. I still think it's a good movie. I don't think it's a great Bond movie, but it's a good Bond movie. And it has one of the best opening songs, so okay. I like the theme to this quite a lot.
We're going to get there, but I disagree.
You can disagree.
I can't go there.
No, I thought the theme was as forgettable as Denise Richards. I like the Sheryl Crow theme better.
Oh, no. You're on the wrong side of history on that one, my friend.
Yeah, I know it's your opinion, but it's still wrong.
You're outvoted. Oh, Heidi, your vote is bad.
So, like a lot of Bond movies, this one was too long. At 128 minutes.
It had skiing, though. Were you excited? I was excited for you.
I was excited about the skiing, although... Let me point out that the skiing had the worst, like, supervillain toys ever. Like who thought that adding the fan man paragliding, whatever you call it, apparatus attached to a snowmobile would be a good idea. And yet you have this, which looks, okay, bizarre, but at least it seems to work. But then your bad guys in the snowmobiles with the big fan behind them are throwing grenades, like World War One style grenades.
Well, it's cheap surplus in Azerbaijan or wherever they were. So I wrote in my notes, oh, skiing, joygasm for Eric.
When I was a little kid, I had a set of toys. It was sort of post-He-Man toys, but they were, it was called Mask. That was the group. And it was like a cross between G.I. Joe and Transformers. So it was really silly. It was like helicopters that would turn into motorcycles. So, you know, not much. But they're kind of cheesy. I loved them. But that's what these paragliding snow machines reminded me of. They remind me of Mask toys.
Okay, let's start at the beginning. Although, Jason, I guess we got your initial reaction. Although I force you to defend it, you certainly don't have to. Being the expert doesn't mean you have to like everything. God knows.
I'm not going to defend it. I'm just going to say I still like it. So neener, neener.
Well, there are plenty of things to like. So we open in Bilbao, Spain, where we have James Bond, Pierce Brosnan, meets with a Swiss banker to recover a large sum of money. By the way, this little adventure that he's on to get the money, this is just like M is using him as an errand boy. Like this is some Jared Kushner type misuse of government resources.
Being a spy isn't glamorous all the time. It's not all guns and glory.
But this is like an off the books thing.
Nah, well, who better to be off the books than somebody who's constantly breaking the rules?
I suppose.
Well, he's also investigating the death of another 00.
True. So, actually, I like the cold open as far as it was super, super action.
It wasn't really a cold open, though. It was like a cold third.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was the longest cold open, I think, that we've seen.
It was good, though. You're right.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Good. It had lots of, it had hand-to-hand combat. It had chase scenes. It did have, I mean.
He used a villain as a counterweight.
Usually the ridiculous vehicles and vehicle maneuvering take place somewhere in the middle of the movie or even toward the end. But he was legitimately piloting a boat through a city street. Not a boat that had special wheels on it. Not a car that turned into a boat. Just a boat.
With a kick-ass engine.
I was going to say, I'm going to call the bullshit flag on that, but hey.
Now, it was Q's retirement.
Crazy.
I do have to say, during this entire opening scene, starting with the banker and the cronies and going all the way through the hot air balloon, I actually thought, I think Pierce Brosnan might be my favorite Bond.
Now, would that really be all that difficult, though?
No, but I always had in my head that Daniel Craig was the shit. But I am really enjoying Pierce Brosnan as Bond.
Do you know what doesn't hold up so well? Remington Steele.
Uh-oh. I know.
Don't say it.
Yeah, because I was just telling Jesse we need to go watch Remington Steele. Man.
Well, it's on MeTV, so.
MeTV?
Yeah, it's antenna TV, so maybe you can get it. Digital antenna.
Probably not.
I didn't say it was going to be a perfect solution. I'm just saying that it might be available. Or you could probably buy the whole Remington Steele collection for like $19.99 at Target.
Maybe I'll put it on my Christmas list.
Yeah, but maybe find an episode or two on YouTube to start out and then decide whether you want to dive in.
Or maybe Netflix it or Amazon it or something, see if it's available.
Yeah, maybe.
Wait for it.
So, Bond realizing that the money has been tampered with because his ice cubes fizz. What?
No, they explain that very clearly.
Yeah.
Very, very clunkily. They jammed in an explanation in the next scene.
Shoehorned it right in.
Is it the, what is it, like sodium something or other?
Ammonia.
Ah. Also, I didn't like John Cleese in this movie.
What's not to like about him?
He was too goofy, which is a weird thing to say about the future Q.
He wasn't even being goofy. He was just being inept.
Yeah, he was bumbling.
Yeah.
Without any charisma.
He was Mr. Bean.
Without the funny faces.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a race, a race. I'm winning. Drew hates that movie.
I didn't hate it. That was a really sad send-off for Q, though.
I think Desmond Llewellyn, Q, I think he actually died in a car accident.
Yeah, I mean, think even he though died. He died. I think he died from complications of the car accident. I don't think he actually died in the car accident, but yeah, I think you're right.
But I mean, he could have theoretically popped up in all the Bond movies until he was 125.
Well, except I think there was some speculation that perhaps his mental acuity had been slipping.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he's had his lines written on his cuffs and stuff for the last three movies, but still.
How hard is it to say?
Oh, grow up, Bond.
Seriously, Bond. That's my lunch.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Oh, no what?
Jason's computer just melted.
From the heat.
No. I went to look up Q. I went to look him up on IMDb, and of course, I get an ad for Death Wish 2017.
Yes. There's a big controversy about that.
Starring?
Bruce Willis.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a...
Vincent D'Onofrio and Elizabeth Shue.
Who directs it? It's a famous director.
Eli Roth.
Eli Roth. Not a famous, necessarily good director. Yeah, people in the podcasting world I pay attention to think this is sacrilege. I'm not such a hardliner about that kind of stuff, but...
Sacrilege? Like, it's defiling the Charles Bronson movie?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it was a canon film, so it can't have been that great. I mean, I think I grew up watching a lot of Death Wish 2, and I think the only thing that lended credibility to it for me... because it was far inferior to The Mechanic, I think, was that I think Jimmy Page did the score to Death Wish 2. That was the kind of the era before Eric Clapton was doing lots of scores.
So Desmond Llewellyn died 3 weeks after the opening of The World Is Not Enough from complications from the car accident.
Yeah, basically we'll pour one out for Q. So we have in the cold open... what do you think of the thing of Bond getting hurt in the cold open and then having to carry that around?
Well, it was convenient, but it's used again in later Bond movies.
Oh, let me point out that there is a shit ton of stuff in this movie that is directly shoehorned into Skyfall. Like, lots of it.
Such as?
Such as M being in peril, such as MI6 getting blown up. So, I mean, it's just, there's lots and lots of things. Him getting hurt. I mean, it's all really complicated.
I was okay with him getting hurt, but there wasn't really any payoff to it. He just got to wince a lot through the movie.
Yeah. See, he should have been put in a crazy straitjacket, and because his shoulder was separated, he could get out of it that way.
There's never been a bad movie where that happened.
And then finish with a flourish of juggling scarves.
Oh, then he should be tied down and Kathy Bates should just beat his legs with a hammer.
You know what? Let's flip the script and have Kathy Griffin beat him with the hammer.
Okay, if you insist.
Bald-headed Kathy Griffin could play and reprise the role of Renard.
Sinead Griffin?
Yes.
Yes, Skyfall, they blow up the buildings, but that was different because in this movie they weren't blowing up the government buildings to blow up the government buildings. They're blowing up the government building as a way to kill the character, kill the the what's his face, King,
Mr. King,
the oil baron King.
Now I realize that it is possible actually in this very movie that Pierce Brosnan jumped a shark, even the cold open. But Dr. Molly Warmflash? That was his doctor's name.
I didn't even catch that.
Molly Warmflash.
How are you surprised by that?
Like I said, it's not surprising. It's just, it makes me sad.
What? Sad? You've set your expectations too high. How are you sad?
I think so.
Oh.
Now, okay, at this point, I have watched, because I think I have seen the next movie, okay? I think I have seen Die Another Day before.
I think the word you were struggling to find was you've suffered through.
No, not necessarily. But I, you know, when we all started this adventure.
Apologies, I didn't mean to put words in your mouth. It's okay. Those were words for Drew's mouth.
It's when we started this Bond adventure, I told you up front that I wasn't sure I was actually even a Bond fan. And then when Drew came aboard, I agreed with him because he wasn't sure he was. Actually, he was more sure that he wasn't a Bond fan. If I'm putting words in your mouth, let me put the words I want.
That's just everybody put all sorts of stuff in my mouth. It's fine.
It's not a warm flash. So I actually have quite an affection for James Bond's world. But I'm not going to pretend that it is like if someone makes, you know, if the next James Bond is a lady or the next James Bond is a if they just do like James Bond Jr., which I think they actually have. Or make it into a cartoon, like an Adult Swim type cartoon. Well, I think they have with Archer, right? You know, that's fine. I don't think it's like a, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I've grown very fond of all the little things that they have carried on. I think it's very impressive that they have like 24 movies where you get to see a quilted leather door in M's office. And you get to, oh, by the way, the family crest is the world is not enough? Come on. Ridiculous.
But so the family crest, back? That was from a previous movie, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it was the one where they skied. That was the Telly Savalas one, right?
Yes, on Her Majesty's Secret Service.
The girl from Absolutely Fabulous?
That wasn't Roger Moore, was it?
No, that was Lazenby.
Was it? Oh, maybe it was Lazenby.
Oh, my God. Are you seriously? It was tough.
Was it Lazenby in the kilt? Maybe it was Lazenby.
Yeah.
See, that's the other thing is that I get confused. 26 movies. In. How am I going to keep track of the Planet of the Apes movies?
Better notes?
I guess.
Oh, snap.
Jeez.
Buzzing.
Okay. So.
Shots fired.
All right, so here we go. Let's go right to the. Right to the opening credits. Frankly, I liked Tomorrow Never Dies opening credits and song better. I know I'm in the vast minority as far as the song, but I didn't think there was anything special about the opening credits, and I thought the song was fine, although I was trying to figure out who was the singer until they actually said Shirley Manson and Garbage in the opening credits.
I'm so ashamed of you right now.
Well, it's not a super Shirley Manson song, though, right?
It's totally a Garbage song.
I really like Garbage and Shirley Manson, but this song was lame.
It wasn't Shirley Manson.
I disagree.
Yeah.
Go watch the video.
I'm sure the video's cool. And why was it Shirley Manson and Garbage? Were they not together at the time?
Yeah,
it
was weird. Isn't Garbage just Shirley Manson and that other guy?
No. Garbage is the three old dudes that are like music people that engineered a band and got Shirley Manson to sing for them because they're old and don't sing.
Because they're not even Scottish, are they?
Nah, I don't think so. I think they might be British.
Yeah, no, I have nothing but good things to say about Shirley Manson.
I like Garbage too.
There's something that
I really loved the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Yeah, me too. Okay. So, any other words about
opening? That's a 1% joke. Most people aren't going to get that.
If they're loyal listeners, they'll know.
Mom won't remember.
I thought the credits were good. I liked the way the credits came right from the final scene of the cold open. It wasn't spectacular, but I was really disappointed in the song. Because I had subtitles on, and subtitles actually identified it as garbage right away. And I got really excited because I hadn't remembered that Garbage did a Bond song. And then when I was listening to it, I understood why I had not remembered that Garbage had done a Bond song.
Go, baby, go, go. You're with MI6 now. Go, baby, go, go. Yeah, man, it's...
Well, that version actually sounds pretty good.
The very subtle opening of this where oil is both life and death.
Is that oil or caviar?
Well, there were big oil derricks represented.
Yeah, that's true. Although, again, sexual oil derricks.
Well, it was about a pipeline. What do you want? Laying pipe. Come on.
Very nice.
And then they get a pig involved.
Yeah, they do. I knew.
Wait, what?
You would call. You would, yeah, we're not talking about the actual Prime Minister of England.
That actually have pig insertion.
They do.
And then pig explosion. Where they're then ejaculated out on the ground.
They are.
I've taken this as far as I can go. Yeah. Sorry, Mom.
Yeah, but okay. So can I just list the things that I do like about this? I love Sophie Marceau. She was great. She surprised me about how good she was in this.
She was freaking dark. She was a dark character. She was
maybe the perfect Bond girl. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we'll have to compare her to future Bond girls. But I mean, I think to the date of this movie, I think she may be the best. Robert Carlyle was great. Weird. Reminded me a little bit of Jim Norton. Robbie Coltrane? I forget how much great. I love him and his bad Russian accent. I didn't particularly like John Cleese, but he's fine.
What happened to Minnie Driver?
Exactly. She should have made another cameo. I actually kind of like Samantha Bond as Moneypenny.
She's great. Shout out to Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey for...
Samantha Bond is in Downton Abbey.
I'd still call it Downtown Abbey. I don't know. And
I've never actually seen it.
Is that a bunch
it,
of midwives so. Or something? Or is that a different show?
Different show. Ah.
So we'll have to put Downton Abbey on the list at some point. Or maybe not.
Isn't it a show?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like I don't think we're
I don't think we're ready for doing another show, are we?
Costume melodrama, right?
Correct. It's great.
Period piece soap opera.
Oh, period piece. You're out, man. You hate that.
Exactly.
But there's skiing.
Is there?
No, there's no skiing. It's in the English countryside. So, there's no skiing.
Okay, tangent. They ski in England. Tangent. Probably more in Scotland. And,
Wait a second. We're 35 minutes in and a tangent? Oh, that's not even a record.
Okay,
go ahead.
Okay, so after Cruel Intentions came out, Cruel Intentions... is to me an iconic movie. It's not a great movie, but it's definitely, to me, it brings back a time and place. And based on Cruel Intentions, how much fun that movie was, and the soundtrack was great, and it just had the right amount of like fun stuff. So we'll have to add that to the list at some point. But based,
it had the full bacon, right?
Yeah, that's true. Based on No, you're thinking of Wild Things.
Oh, yeah, I am.
Is Cruel Intent... That's not Gwyneth Paltrow, is
nope,
it?
Nope, you're thinking of...
Great Expectations.
Great Expectations, yeah. Or no,
Sarah Michelle Gellar and Reese Witherspoon and Ryan Phillippe.
Yep. And... And, God, Selma Blair and... who else is in it? It's just fun.
You think it was a good movie?
It's got a great soundtrack.
Okay, do you think it's a good movie?
Well, okay, it's a remake.
It's an enjoyable movie.
This is where my story is going. There are four, at least as of that time, it was the fourth retelling of the same story. The original was the French film Liaison Dangereuse.
Gesundheit.
Yes.
Heidi, you need a Kleenex.
Then it was made into the John Malkovich and who is the
Glenn Close
Dangerous Liaisons.
And Keanu Reeves.
A costume melodrama. And hold on, it gets better.
I love that movie, by the way.
And then it was made into Valmont, starring Fairuza Balk.
Your favorite.
Terry and I watched all of these movies.
And Uma Thurman, right? Uma Thurman was in Valmont.
Yeah, you would recognize everybody from actually all the movies except for the original French movie. So we tried to watch the French movie. It is a black and white movie in French. It does not has English subtitles, but it is a black and white movie that has white subtitles. And that was hard enough until they go skiing. Honest to God, they go skiing and you can't read anything. It's the worst.
You think that was the French just giving you the middle finger?
Now you realize, you don't see any subtitles that are, hardly any, that are white. They're all like yellow or some weird color that will stand out no matter what the background is.
Or they're white in a black box, like closed captioning.
Yeah.
I think even there's some newer DVDs where you can select what color you want.
Oh, excellent. Well, it got to a point where we just both burst out laughing because at that point, we just started fast forwarding. It may have actually been a videotape that we had rented from someplace because it was like, ugh, cannot believe it. But anyway, that's my skiing, how skiing ruins a movie story.
I agree with you. I love Dangerous Liaisons, and I enjoyed Cruel Intentions.
Yeah. Yep. I thought Valmont was fine. It was definitely the second tier to Dangerous Liaisons, which I think was an Academy Award nominated movie.
Not for Keanu Reeves.
Probably not, no.
He had scenes with Malkovich, and I felt I was embarrassed for him.
End of tangent. Back on the track.
That's your back on the track noise?
I don't have any noises. I'm quite tired this week, but I don't have to worry about being 106 degrees outside.
106 degrees of separation. I'm dying.
By the way, thank you, Drew. I'll say this publicly, even though I said it last weekend privately. I'll say it publicly, Drew. Thank you for letting Jason and I talk about computer vendors for an hour without interruption on last week's podcast.
It was fascinating. It was great.
I cut out an hour where Drew basically said nothing but nodded the entire time. The silly things we do. By the way, okay, here's another tangent. So shout out to a product that I bought myself. I bought myself a gift. And it is it's called a Shuttle Pro version 2 by Contour Designs. It looks a little bit like a rollerball that has 15 buttons on it. But instead of a rollerball in the middle, it has a jog wheel and a free spinning wheel in the middle. Oh. And you can program all the buttons.
For a moment, I was worried because Contour Design sounds like a personal vibrator device.
Actually, one of the other products they make is a keyboard that has, like, below the space bar, it has this thing where it actually works like a rollerball, but it really is like a cylinder, a very thin cylinder, but it moves back and forth and spins at the same time. So you can point a cursor by doing that. So you basically have different motions. So you don't get repetitive motion in a traditional mouse way.
But you get tendonitis from doing things that you haven't naturally done ever.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Anyway, but I want to say it has, it delights my daughter because there's a function of editing the podcast that's called the auto duck. Turns out I don't need a special key for it because I use it once per episode. But it allowed me to program this key and also find a picture of a duck and put it under the little key cover thing. So I have a picture of a duck, which makes me laugh. It makes her laugh.
And so what does the auto duck do?
what Auto Duck does is it, if you have music playing, like in our opening, I have the music playing, and then I have a separate track underneath it that has, just visually underneath it, that has the opening speech that I give and all the quotes. Basically, what it does is it automatically ducks that music track 16 or 14 or 12 decibels or whatever while we're talking. So it
beds it basically.
Yeah, it automatically turns it down and then turns it up and turns it down and turns it up.
In the good old days, you had probably a person with a mixer board that did that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, if you just turn down the amplification on the track, it wouldn't sound as cool as the duck thing. Because like I said, if there's a big long pause, it turns the music back up gradually and then turns it down again when you talk. So it's how it's smooth. But like I said, I'll use it once an episode, so that's not useful. But there's a function called create silence. So let's say Drew doesn't talk for a while, but he picks up his glass and puts it down on the table and the ice jingles around in the glass, or he clicks a pen or something. Not like Drew would do this because he's not a pen clicker, but I can just highlight that area. And before, I'd have to take my mouse and pick from a menu thing and then scroll down and then click a little thing and then hit an extra button. And now I can just hit one button on this little gadget. Okay, so sorry, back to the world is not enough. So the plot was fine.
I think Drew's going to say no.
No, the plot was fine. I mean, wanting to build an oil monopoly, sure.
Yeah, that's a very Bond villain thing to do. Corner a market on anything. Last movie, it was the media. This movie, it's oil transportation. Or oil delivery systems, or whatever you call it. Distribution.
Did you like Q's two little rules that he tells Bond that he expurgates in this movie?
Which were the little rules?
Never let them see you bleed and always have an escape plan.
Yes. Doesn't he say, though, remember what I always tell you, but I don't think he's ever said that in any other movie.
Correct.
Yeah. It's funny, though. Like I said, I think the charm of it kept me going. I thought it was perfectly enjoyable, although probably fairly forgettable. And yeah, Denise Richards did herself no favor and the movie no favors. But Sophie Marceau, I think, was a good addition to this movie, something to recommend the movie. And Pierce Brosnan did a good job as Bond. I know he gets criticized, but compared to Timothy Dalton, Pierce Brosnan is James Bond.
Okay, explain this to me. Why was Elektra upset with her father regarding the kidnapping?
He didn't pay the ransom. And she got Stockholm Syndrome.
What was the deal with her ear?
What was the deal with your ear?
I did not follow that at all.
Proof of life or something? Or
no, it was supposed to send a message to the people paying the ransom that they were serious about wanting them to pay because they were going to hurt her. And so it was, we're going to give you a piece of her ear to show you that this is just the first step. And the longer you don't pay, the worse it's going to be for her. Except that, as it turns out, she did it to herself to prove how dedicated she was at the whole game.
And that's how she convinced Renard that she was actually on his side?
Correct. That's how she seduced or induced him into it, as it were.
Should we add excess baggage to the calendar?
The Alicia Silverstone movie?
With Benicio del Toro? Yes. And Christopher Walken?
Never seen it.
I haven't seen it since it first came out on video, like, what, 20 years ago?
I want to say we saw it in the theater, but I could have seen it with somebody else in the theater.
When did it come out?
Had to have been
97.
Had to have been, I think I would say earlier. When did Usual Suspects come out? It came out like the day after.
97. Yeah, would not. I did not see it.
Nice job. Yeah. No, it's not going to hold up. It's one of those.
Surprise.
If we're going to watch it, we need to watch it with something else to at least compare and contrast. Because I kind of like those episodes.
hey, how appropriate. I get an ad on IMDb's, you know, knocking it out of the park tonight. Now there's an ad for Kidnap starring Halle Berry opening tomorrow.
Sweet. They mess with the wrong mother. This kitty's got claws. Meow. Catwoman.
We should do excess baggage coupled with A Life Less Ordinary.
I don't never even heard of that movie.
Danny Boyle.
Isn't he in Eastbound and Down?
No.
That Danny Boyle. McBride?
Yes.
Okay.
Damn, Trainspotting, 28 Days Later.
I get those mixed up. I have Trainspotting 2 on my list, but I haven't seen it yet.
We watched it, Jesse and I watched it on the plane to Alaska.
You said it was good, but different.
Yeah, you have to... It was good. Don't have an expectation that it's Trainspotting, other than it's the same characters. Don't think of it as a sequel. Think of it as another story with the same characters. If you think of it as a sequel, you're going to have a harder time enjoying it, because you'll compare it to the first one. And it's hard to compare because the stories are different. It's the same people, and it's later in life, but it's a different... The movie has a different tone to it. I think it's quite good. I really like it. The more I thought about it, the longer I thought about it, the more I liked it. And we'll definitely watch it again. I just wanted to absorb and digest it some before I went back and watched it again. But I know that some people really said that they were disappointed, but I think that's because they were expecting, you know, Trainspotting 2. They wanted the exact sequel, and this is not that.
Maybe because it was called Trainspotting 2.
Well...
I mean, I get it, but, you know, I mean, we should watch that with the Terminator 2.
We've already done the Terminator.
Or the parking garage movie P3.
Never heard of it.
Okay, so I realize...
Or CB4.
We're on it. Exactly, yes. Fox Force 5.
Red Eye.
So, here's another tangent on a tangent. Jason, did you finish the latest season of Twin Peaks?
No.
Okay. So you had to bail.
It's not that I've had to bail. It's that... So I've watched the first couple episodes, and it's just hard. It's hard for me. It's so different, and I'm afraid to continue watching it because I'm afraid of what's going to happen. So
has anybody spoiled the ending for you?
No.
Okay.
Not yet. So don't do it.
Not gonna.
I'm paying for Showtime right now, so I will go back and watch it, but I want to be able to watch it in its entirety at my own speed. So it's gonna in the next couple weeks, but
I don't want to shame you into it. I just
no, curious. You couldn't shame me in, you know me. I'm a stubborn ass. You couldn't shame me into anything. It's just, in comparison, and again, this is appropriate enough, it's different. It's similar characters, but the story is different.
Yeah, that's why I asked whether or not that was a disappointment to you in either sense, in either example.
It's not a disappointment. I expected it to be different. I think I'm frustrated because I want to skip to the end. I want to get to the end because it's so confusing right now. And I know it will tie back in some way, but the frustration factor is making me not want to watch it because what happens when I rewatch Twin Peaks when I first got it on DVD was I didn't remember it because I hadn't seen it in, you know, a long time. And so I raced through it because it was so good and I didn't get it. And then I remembered at the end and I got it. So I'm trying not to rush through this to get to the end because I'm afraid that I'm spoiling it for myself. So I've been very deliberate about, you know, watched a couple episodes. Boyfriend Jesse kept falling asleep halfway through the episode, which told me he wasn't really interested. So I know that we've gone back and rewatched a couple episodes because he was like, well, we need to go back. And then I've just got so much that I'm afraid to go back and watch it because I'm afraid it's going to be bad and I don't want it to be. So that's why I think part of me is trying to steer out of the skid. So have you heard much feedback?
A little bit. I read an article kind of about people's reaction to how this season ended, and I don't want to say anything about it.
Because there's another season.
Sure there is. But, okay, how about this? We do Trainspotting 2, T2, Trainspotting 2, with Grease 2?
Oh, no. No. I'd rather watch Hair than Grease 2.
No, I'm in.
I will be taking that week off.
Okay. All right. So back to Twine. Any other observations? Any other?
Yes. You got more baccarat.
I did get. I got baccarat and skiing.
Yeah,
that's all I want, really. I mean, I don't have any. I don't want to go skiing. I don't want to watch a ski movie. Warren Miller, whatever. I don't want to play baccarat. It seems confusing.
They just walked by baccarat, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
yeah. She walked by baccarat so she could go play war.
Yeah, exactly. Well, not even. Yeah, just exactly. She basically like cut cards. Ridiculous. That was ridiculous.
The badass helicopter saws were pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? Okay. Do you have any notes on the helicopter saws? Are they a real thing? Under what circumstances would you have a helicopter saw?
They're a real thing. They're used for clearing, like utility corridors,
power lines.
Yeah, in places where it's hard to reach, where like you can't get a crew in there.
Okay. You certainly couldn't cut through a pipeline with a helicopter saw.
Probably not normal ones, but those badass Bond villain ones, yeah.
Yeah, they were titanium tipped with a kung fu grip.
Very nice. You are like loquacious today. That's not even that's not the right word.
No, I was gonna say. Just keep that to yourself, mister.
Was that who Picard came when the Borg got him?
Loquacious. No, I think he was the third actor in CB4.
Oh. Okay. Upgrade. Bond has the kinky ice sex with Elektra, and that giant watch stays on his wrist the whole time. That's not plotting.
Did not
like actually. Them. She out kinks him, and he's eventually like, "All right, that's enough. Enough with the ice."
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Also, neck crushing chair.
Well, that comes later.
It's ridiculous. I mean, fine. It's fine. It's James Bond. It's fine.
Bond's bad Russian accent is almost nearly as bad as her bad American accent when she speaks Russian.
You know who had the worst American accent? Denise Richards.
So there is a quote in the trivia that's saying Denise Richards was attracted to the role of Christmas Jones as she found the part to be, quote, brainy, athletic, and had, quote, depth of character, unquote, a change in direction from previous Bond girls. Audiences did not agree and often consider Christmas to be the worst Bond girl ever. This was the first Bond film to win a Razzie in the category of Worst Supporting Actress for the same reason.
Okay. Also, if you're in a missile silo, are you really going to be firing a bunch of bullets with missiles around? That seems like a recipe for disaster.
Much like plutonium, missiles are completely safe unless you hit the button. And then, as we found out from the last movie, you can't turn them off.
And was her outfit an homage or just a complete ripoff of like Lara Croft?
Yes. Yes. It was a combination of Lara Croft. Well, no, actually, you know what? It was just Lara Croft. 100% Lara Croft. I mean, it's actually, I feel bad for Denise Richards.
If you must.
I must.
Can pipeline pigs really go 70 miles an hour? I would think not.
Well, there wasn't any 90 degree turns like the last time we saw a pig in a Bond movie. Could you ride in a pig? Do they have joysticks?
Well, why would they have joysticks if you couldn't ride in them?
Exactly.
Why would they have speedometers?
Ridiculous.
Let's see. Touch Your Destiny. Holy Helicopter Saw Batman. Bathed in Caviar.
But I can disarm it.
Let it go.
Yeah.
But why? It's terrible. She ruined the whole movie.
Also, so Bond is brought to Elektra to be tortured. She just happens to have a torture device just laying around the house.
She's a villain, though.
She's a badass bitch, man.
She's a real... She might be compared to Ivanka Trump, depending on whether Donald Trump would pay her ransom or not. That's not fair. I'm sorry. Ivanka Trump, if you're listening, I apologize. You have enough on your plate to not worry about podcasters making cheap shots.
Classy.
Thank you. Also, Ivanka Trump, if you're listening, next time you go to Russia, if you could do some more downloads, we need more Russian downloads.
Do we need more Russian downloads?
We could always use more Russian downloads.
I have people in Russia.
Excellent. Let's see. Oh, hold on. In the music video of The World Is Not Enough by Garbage, Shirley Manson is killed and replaced by a robotic duplicate of herself. The music video foreshadowed Shirley Manson starring in the television series Terminator, The Sarah Connor Chronicles.
I told you it's a good song.
Nope.
That's really a good show.
Yeah.
I wish we could take Elektra and transport her and make her the villain of Spectre.
Yeah, I could see that. Okay, here's a piece of trivia you might enjoy. In the earlier drafts of the script, the character that became Christmas Jones was a Polynesian insurance investigator. This was changed to avoid confusion with Pierce Brosnan's female foil in The Thomas Crown Affair. Came out the same year.
Because Rene Russo is Polynesian.
Giulietta da Vinci was actually Shashinka Firo, and Dr. Molly Wormflash was Dr. Greatrix.
Greatrix.
Like Dominatrix, but better?
Yeah. Or, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I like how you tell me no, but then you don't have a better alternative.
No, I don't. It's not
gonna... Screw you, man.
No, you did fine. I'm not, it's not a competition, man. You're the loquacious one. I still think I'm using that word wrong. But I'm not going to look it up. Just fuck it. I'm tired.
Because, yeah, why would you? Why be accurate? Why start now?
I heard a piece of trivia that the British audiences really laughed when James Bond, in his boat race, splashed all that water on the guys booting a car. Because the idea of booting a car was just beginning in London. So, we still don't use boots up here.
You don't?
Nope.
Or you do?
We do not.
I don't think we use them in Portland. But we have we had tow truck drivers that run amok for long enough now that they're actually being forced out of business in some instances. They're being pretty predatory, and then they would take it upon themselves to patrol lots that had posted violation parking signs, even if they weren't the agency for which the lot they were assigned to. And they would just go into parking lots and find people's cars and hook them up.
Oh, yeah.
Without anybody complaining.
Yep. And it turns out once a tow truck driver has your car, you need to pay them whatever they want to get that car out.
Well, Oregon changed the law here. So if you show up and the car hasn't, and they haven't left with the car yet, they have to allow you to pay
a drop fee.
A drop fee.
Yeah.
And I think it's $85.
Yeah, that's about right.
But
no, I mean, they everybody's got to post their rate. But let me tell you, well, and we learned this out the hard way last year. If you're in Alaska, in Anchorage, there are many times where your car just gets stuck in a ditch. It's a heavy snow day. And so you slide into the median and you auger yourself into a ditch. And really all you need, your car is not really damaged as much as you just need a tow truck to winch you out. It's called a winch out or a pull out. Well, how much do you suppose a pull out is going to cost you?
$250.
You are almost exactly right. It's like $100 for the pull out, but $150 to show up.
So, yeah, because in those kinds of instances, the business is in high demand.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's no alternative either. I mean, I guess you could wait till spring.
It's like surge. It's like surge pricing for Uber.
Exactly.
You heard about that scandal, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. How are they manipulating it?
They were banding together and saying, "We will all turn off. We will all turn off our availability right now at the same time, so the rates will skyrocket."
Ah.
And you make a system that allows it. I mean, it's not. I mean, it's probably against the spirit of Uber, but there's nothing illegal about it.
Well, and the thing is, like, taxi companies hate Uber because there are so many rules and regulations for taxi companies. When we see the documentary DC Cab, you'll see an example of how this comes into practice. But Uber drivers have almost no rules. It's just self-imposed rules.
Well, I used Uber this winter when we went to a Storm Large concert because I couldn't get a cab and there was lots of Ubers, having never used them before. And I got absolutely screwed with my pants on. So that won't be happening.
Because of surge pricing or just because the way the system
Well, the thing was, is it's, I checked and I got a price quote before they showed up. And then afterwards, later, I get a surge surcharge.
Nice.
So my supposed $24 ride ended up costing $80. And when I complained, they said, that's what happens in a surge. And I was like, oh, fuck you, I'm done. Like, I deleted the app. I'm like, nope. Okay, that was enough.
Yeah, that's...
Seems sketchy.
So the world is not enough. Do we have anything else to say about it? I mean, I thought it was perfectly, it was cherry jello.
I like the little Zukovsky gives the final shot to save Bond. That was kind of a nice touch.
Yeah, yeah.
I love the first hour or so of this movie before Denise Richards shows up. And it's not all her fault in the second half of the movie, but a lot of it is. but I thought the setup was really good. Sophie Marceau was great. M was really good in this. She didn't have a lot of screen time, but Judi Dench killed it.
Yeah.
Robert Carlyle was fantastic. This should have been a good movie, but all of the nuclear bomb stuff was so dumb. It was just dumb and distracting and unnecessary. Like any time they tried to shoehorn Christmas Jones back into the plot, I found myself like reaching for my phone.
Do you know what director Michael Apted is best known for?
The Up series?
Yeah. Also, the Madeline Stowe movie, Blank. And also, Nell.
Nell.
Ooh.
Ah, Jodie Foster. Liam Neeson, right?
Go ahead, Jason. Do the thing. Do your Nell impression. You got a good Nell impression?
I do.
Don't you have a... Drew, do you have a good Nell impression?
Definitely not.
I'm afraid to...
I think this is you, Eric.
Yeah.
No,
you're the one with the Nell impression.
I have never seen Nell, but after Jason did the Nell impression, I had to find it.
When did I do the Nell impression?
That was episode 3.
Oh, man. What was...
Chicka Chicka Pee.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, see?
Oh, okay.
So you can do it. Mr. Chicka Pee or something. What is that?
Yeah. If you haven't seen the movie, it doesn't mean anything to you.
I cut a clip out of it to insert it in a movie before, in an episode before.
Okay. I believe you. I don't recall the specific line.
Okay, Miss Chickpea.
But I thought Nell was a good movie for the time. I mean, I haven't seen it since I saw it in the theater.
He directed Gorky Park?
Gorky Park? I've never seen the movie, but I read the book.
Yeah. William Hurt? Lee Marvin? Brian Dennehy?
Oh, really? That sounds like a good movie.
Joanna Pacula?
Maybe we'll have to add that.
Yep. Yeah.
So you haven't seen Nell, Drew? Have you seen Nell?
Okay, Miss Chickpea.
I saw it when it first came out on video, so a long, long time ago.
Okay, Miss Chickpea.
Is Liam Neeson in that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Liam Neeson. Yeah. He was the sheriff.
Chicka chicka pay.
See, I told you. I told you.
So my notes on Twine, The World Is Not Enough. The soundtrack is available on Radioactive Records. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Jesse's quote at the end of this movie, the ending was very abrupt.
Yeah.
And also not even all that clever.
Well, they made a Millennium Bug joke, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was 1999, so, you know.
By the time the final fight on the sub happened, I was so disinterested. I couldn't even be bothered to pay attention to what was happening. I was like, blah, 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 quip, quip. Oh, peril. It's all fine.
Oh, no. This is so sad. This makes me sad now. Jodie Foster, Liam Neeson, Natasha Richardson.
Oh, because they were married?
Yeah. And she did. Quotes. Chicka, chicka, chicka bee.
That's actually spelled out.
Yep. Yes, it actually, it's here to do a Mark Russell joke. It's chicka, chicka, chicka bee, tia me and tia me and me, resa, resa, resa me, chicka, chicka, chicka bee.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, Nell, I will never see Nell. I'm actually a big Jodie Foster fan. No interest in seeing Nell.
It's a good movie. You should watch it.
Nope.
I'm going to add it to the list now.
Nope. I will be gone that day. Hey, I got to quote, there was, I forget what the guy's name is, Luke Bryan, I think his name is. There was a concert, Luke Bryan concert, at the Sullivan Arena. An artist I've never heard of in a venue that's not known for the great acoustics. But lots of my coworkers went. They had a great time. It was a ladies' night to be enjoyed by all.
You went to a ladies' night?
I didn't. No, they did. Oh. But not listener Julie, but coworker Julie, the next day she was saying her ears were still ringing. So every time I walked past her desk, I would say, but then I got to do the little Julianne Moore quote from Children of Men, which I don't think is true, but still, I love the poetic nature of the quote. Is that ringing, that tone you hear when your ears are ringing, is the sound of that nerve dying, and you'll never hear that tone again.
So dark.
Isn't it? This is, of course, after the bomb went off, the terrorist bomb went off.
Mm-hmm.
And Colin Quinn was having the earring.
I think the movie was the big bomb.
I'm sorry, Colin Farrell.
No, that is not correct. That is a brilliant movie.
That is a terrible movie.
Children of Men?
That's terrible.
Children of Men is probably one of my top 10 movies that we've watched on this or for this program.
I bought it based on your input, true. And I will never forgive you.
Okay, well.
It's so good.
Let me tell you.
The only thing good about it was that it ended.
Although, as it turns out, it's our number two podcast download episode. I actually own The Last Boy Scout for the very same reason. So, Brother Jay, your verdict?
I still like this movie. I still is one of my favorites. I suspend the stupidity factor of the character Christmas Jones. That's fine. I liked it.
Now, here's the real test. Next week, not next week, next time, 2 weeks, actually.
Yeah.
We will have, Diner of the Day, which is the Halle Berry. Now, how is Halle Berry going to compare to Denise Richards?
Well, she will inevitably be better, but it's a terrible, Diet Another Day is not a good movie.
Do you think Terry Hatcher will be ahead of that trio? Actually, it's funny. I think Terry Hatcher did a better job than Catherine Bach did.
Yeah, I'm going to say, I think because Terry Hatcher wasn't around long enough to make a stink.
Yeah.
I think that may have been the best thing going for her was the fact that she had a very limited screen presence, so she couldn't be bad. But Halle Berry's all over Die Another Day, unfortunately. And you get Madonna, so.
Okay, so question.
Yeah.
Question.
It's not a great movie in my recollection, but I haven't seen it in some time, so maybe it will have gotten better with age.
I remember it has like a really dark cold open.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Well, we'll find out. Brother Drew, was it worth it?
The first part of this movie is definitely worth it. I'd say after the sex scene between Bond and Elektra, just turn it off. It's fine. It's fine. You got it all. You got everything you need. Other than that, no. No. I hate to say it because I really enjoyed Pierce Brosnan in the first part of this movie. The extended cold open was great and a lot of fun. And it was such a waste of a tremendous villain and a great performance by Sophie Marceau.
Agreed. I want to correct myself. It was not Catherine Bach, Daisy Duke. It was Barbara Bach, Mrs. Ringo Starr. Yep. It was Denise Richards' moment to shine, though, and sadly it didn't work out so well.
Oh, I was going to say her moment to speak Russian with a bad American accent.
Yeah. And why was she there in the first place? That's just ridiculous.
Well, maybe she slept with somebody. Or she must have been hot at the time.
Oh, no. I don't mean why was she cast. I know why she was cast. She's beautiful. And she's probably coming off of Wild Things, right? Look, if there was a lot more of... If you cast... Denise Richards and Nev Campbell, and they did a lot of kissing in this movie, it would have been a much better movie.
I think Nev Campbell could have pulled off Christmas Jones.
Yeah, I think so, actually. What's Nev Campbell up to these days? She did a bunch of indie movies, and then... Oh, she's...
House of Cards.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, because I haven't seen the later seasons of House of Cards. She's still good?
Yeah, she's good.
Again, she was in all those teen movies around the same time as Cruel Intentions.
Just Scream and Wild Things, right?
Oh, there were a bunch of indie movies with her in it. Did they remake Flatliners with Ellen Page?
Why did they
remake Flatliners?
Is it a remake or like a secret sequel?
Secret sequel?
Or did it end up being a series on TV?
I think they were...
Kiefer Sutherland comes back.
Yeah, I think they were selling it as a reboot, but it's actually a kind of sequel, I believe.
I remember, again, sort of the post Brat Pack.
They're saying sequel to Flatliners.
Ah, okay. Well,
but like The Thing, they decided to call it Flatliners.
Yeah.
Ooh, the budget was $20 million.
It'll be fine.
It hasn't been released yet.
You heard about, like, there's, like, a big Rotten Tomatoes backlash now?
No.
Well, since Fandango bought Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh.
And now they actually put the tomato thing on the Fandango website for the movies. Even when it's, like, the Emoji Movie and it gets 3%, or I think by now it's got 7%. But... movie distributors are not happy that they could get torpedoed before the movie even opens by what is essentially like the ultimate Siskel and Ebert. Like, I know people didn't like Siskel and Ebert because they could determine the fate of a movie because they had a very popular movie review show. But yeah, Rotten Tomatoes is,
well, you know, there's an easy solution to that.
They're doing the solution. They're embargoing reviews, and they're also not letting reviewers watch the movie before that, before they come out.
I assume your solution was make good movies.
Yeah, make better movies.
I suppose.
I find it hard to believe that there aren't any movies out there that got savaged by critics but still made a ton of money.
Well, actually, the Emoji Movie is one of them. It's made a decent amount of money. Not, you know.
There's lots of movies that get savaged by the critics that make money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's why Michael Bay is still employed.
Yeah, that's true.
I like to listen to critics to hear points about the movies, but I've never had a critic dissuade me from seeing a movie based on their negative review. Just like I've never had a critic encourage me to see a movie because of their positive review. Because the only thing I use it for is a reference check as to how I feel, to see how out of bounds I may be, or maybe to give me a point of view I haven't realized, which is why I hope people listen to our podcast, is so they get a point of view maybe they hadn't realized or hadn't seen.
Yeah, I don't buy it. I don't buy that a bad Rotten Tomatoes score has any correlation to box office performance.
Yeah, Do you don't think bad word of mouth can mean lower box office results?
I think word of mouth is different.
People who are going to go see the Emoji Movie aren't going to Rotten Tomatoes to find out how good or bad it is. The audience that's going to be that movie is not going to be swayed by a review.
See, I disagree. I think that in the old days you'd hear, oh, I've heard that movie is terrible. But now you can say, oh, I've heard that movie is terrible because Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 3%. As if Rotten Tomatoes is one thing.
I think if you want to go see the movie, you're going to go see the movie.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
If you want to go see the Adam Sandler movie, are you going to not go see it because it has a 7% on Rotten Tomatoes? No, you're going to go see that Adam Sandler movie.
Well, if you're an Adam Sandler fan, but if you're our mom and dad, are you going to go see the Star Wars movie because you heard it was really good, been getting great reviews, or are you not going to go see it because you've heard that it's really bad, didn't get bad reviews? Huh?
No, you're going to go see it because it's Star Wars.
Huh, okay, well. oh man, I don't know. It's
folded like a house of cards.
I don't know. I wasn't super passionate about it, but I also didn't think I was going to have any pushback on that.
Okay, Miss Chickpea, Miss Chickpea, 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 Miss Chickpea. Okay, Miss Chickpea, Miss Chickpea. Okay, Miss Chickpea, Miss Chickpea, Miss Chickpea, 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 Miss Chickpea. Okay, Miss Chickpea, Miss Chickpea, 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 Miss Chickpea. Okay, Miss Chickpea, Miss Chickpea. Okay, Miss Chickpea, Miss Chickpea, Miss Chickpea.
Send your feedback to show@notinthegreenway.com or call us on our new personal account.
Okay,
messages, or you can text us on this account.
Okay, Miss Chickpea, Miss Chickpea,
9169.
Miss Chickpea, 9169. Okay, Miss Chickpea, Miss Chickpea.
You can just hit your contacts.
Miss Chickpea.